Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. We began a few days ago looking at some examples from the life of David, reflecting the dangers of self-reliance. Now, we look up to David. He is a wonderful man of God, but he's also very human, and we can learn a great deal from his life, both on the positive and the negative. Negative is the things that we have been sharing and will share as an example to us that we don't want to follow the same example. We looked in the book of 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter, and we see that David was tempted by the beauty of Bathsheba. He took her unlawfully, and basically, not only did he become an adulterer, but he became a murderer, not literally killing her husband with his own hands, but sending him into battle where he would undoubtedly be killed, and that's exactly what happened. We see in the book of chapter 12 of Samuel, 2 Samuel, that after, I think it was like 9 months, close to a year, Nathan comes to him. See, he hadn't repented in that time. He was just covering it over. And Nathan speaks the word of the Lord to him with some very negative repercussions in terms of the rest of his life and ministry. Verse 10 says, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house." And he goes on, and those things were certainly fulfilled. But we see in a very moving passage in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, verses 7 and 8, that basically the Lord is through Nathan saying, "David, why did you do this? I gave you all of the things that you enjoy, a king over all of Israel and Judah. I gave you your master's wives. And if that was not enough for you, delivering you out of the hand of Saul, anointing thee and appointing him to be king over all Israel, all you had to do was ask, and I would have given you more." But instead, he took matters into his own hands. And that is a danger that all of us can do. If someone as godly as David could fall prey to that temptation of the flesh, not to be willing to look to God for everything, then we need to be advised that if that could happen to him, it surely could happen to us. Now, we want to look at another era in his life where we see that he used his power in an unrighteous way, indicating there are great dangers in self-reliance. But before we turn there, I'd like to refer you to the book of Exodus, the 30th chapter, verse 12. And basically here, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them." There was a purpose in numbering Israel, and this is one example. This was a purpose authorized by God. There was a fee, a shekel, a half shekel, that was paid to the service of the sanctuary whenever people were numbered as a ransom for their lives. There was also a time that, for military purpose, a census was taken and authorized by God. And those who were over 20 years of age, if they were able to carry arms, they were to be considered suitable to go into war. And that was a time in which Israel could be numbered. But let's turn to 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter, and let me just read those first few verses. And again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, "Go number Israel and Judah." For the king had said to Joab, the captain of the host, which was with him, "Go now through all the tribes of Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, and number ye the people, that I may know the number of the people." And he was not happy about doing that. Joab said unto the king, "Now the Lord thy God add unto the people how many soever they be, an hundredfold, and that the eyes of my lord the king may see it. But why doth my lord the king delight in this thing?" Verse 4, "Notwithstanding, the king's word prevailed against Joab." And so Joab did exactly what he said. And it said, when they had gone through all the land, verse 8, they came to Jerusalem at the end of 9 months and 20 days. It took that long to do it. And Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people unto the king. And there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in that I have done. And now, I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." Foolishly. And also, before we go into this a little bit further, let's just take another parallel passage found in 1 Chronicles, the 21st chapter. Here we see just a little different shades of meaning and emphasis. Verse 1, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, 'Go number Israel from Beersheba even unto Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it.'" And it says, "Nevertheless, the king's words prevailed against Joab, and he goes ahead and numbers the people." Verse 6, there's always other, sometimes little details left out in that account in 2 Samuel. It says in verse 6, "But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel." And this, again, similar wording which I just shared in Samuel. "David said unto God, 'I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing, but now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly.'" Now, the Lord sends David's seer, a prophet, saying, "Go and tell David, saying, 'Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee the one of them, that I may do it unto thee.' So Gad came to David and said unto him, 'Thus says the Lord, choose thee either 3 years of famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me.'" In other words, what do you want me to tell the Lord? "And David said unto Gad, 'I am in a great strait. Let me now," how beautiful, even in his even in his falling, "let me now fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man.' So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord was looking." And it goes on to say he repented of the evil. Nonetheless, what's the point in sharing this? That there were sometimes, if they were authorized by God, a reason and purpose for a census. However, what was going on with David? Perhaps he was raising a tax for himself or his personal treasury. There were no orders from God to do it. And basically, it showed insult or reflected distrust or unbelief, if you will, of the ancient promise of Yahweh to Abraham. Joab actually mentions that in 2 Samuel, that this book of 2 Samuel, that 24th chapter, Joab found it reprehensible. He was incensed, nonetheless, because David was king. He did what he was ordered. And so what's at the bottom of all this? Well, as I said, if we sometimes are blessed by the Lord, we have, sometimes it's more difficult to be blessed than to suffer want, because just as in the children of Israel, when they were prospered of the Lord in the land of Canaan, they became fat, they became wealthy, and they forgot the Lord their God. And that's the danger of all of us. We abide in the blessings of God. Just as David, he was king over all Israel. He was the most powerful man in the kingdom. But as a result, he then begins to take powers and things upon himself that he had no right to do. And the Lord rebukes David. He said, look at all you have. And yet, if that wasn't enough, all you had to do was ask me for more, instead of taking it upon yourself in an ungodly way to go after something you desired. In the case of Bathsheba, basically, he was an adulterer and he had her husband killed. And so this indicates a pride of heart that comes. We see that in the life of another man of God, Hezekiah. He sinned in showing the royal treasury to the ambassadors of the enemy. And David took the census in an improper manner. In other words, he was determining his own strength rather than entrusting in the Lord. Instead of depending on God's promise for protection, he desired some tangible military strength, which would be demonstrated and documented if a census was taken. Again, we're talking about the dangers of self-reliance upon taking upon yourself your own efforts and abilities instead of relying on the Lord. Well, there's much more I want to share, but we have to wait until tomorrow's broadcast. If you have prayer needs, if you're going through a time of battle, know that I'm here for you. The announcer will give you our contact information. I invite you to write. God bless you. I love you. And until next time, God bless you. Thank you for joining me. This is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,